morning. Blame the preacher on that song. I looked at the first of it. I did not look at the chorus. Have to get a stepladder to get on some of those notes. But the message is a very good message. What if it were today? And I believe we are certainly living in the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have said so many times before. And we'll continue that thought even again this morning. It seems as though these are the things that are happening before us. And looking at the Scripture, knowing the times in which we live, I believe is very important for the child of God that we'd be aware of the days and the hour in which we live. If you would take your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25. And we'll read a few verses here and make note of some another passage also. And just going to really pick out one thought from this passage to build the message on this morning and to realize where we are. Now, this chapter 25 of Matthew is right in the midst of the Olivet Discourse that Jesus is giving to His disciples. His disciples ask Him some questions about His coming, and they want to know the signs of His coming, the time of His coming, when will these things be, and He is answering those questions as He sits there at the Mount of Olives and deals with that subject, and He's dealing here in chapter 25 with the kingdom of heaven as it is likened unto. And you'll see that phrase a whole lot in the Scripture, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is like. And making reference or making illustration to other things. And so let's read here this morning, verse number 1, Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Wherefore watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Look back in verse number 42 of Matthew 24. The Bible says, Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Then in verse number 44, it says, Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So the Lord here is dealing with the subject of His coming, and is dealing with the hour of His coming, or the time when He shall appear. And He tells us in chapter 24 that to be ready, whatever hour it might be, and tells them here that they know not what hour. And certainly this morning we do not know when Jesus Christ is coming, but we do know He is coming. We understand the phases of His coming. He comes for us, that we'll be gathered unto Him, and then the tribulation time, and then He'll come in glory, and He'll establish His kingdom. And so those are the things that we have established even in the last few weeks. We have studied some different things. But tonight, this morning, I want us to look at this word in verse number 6, and at midnight. I guess we could title the message either midnight, or we could entitle it, What Time Is It? And I believe we are approaching the midnight hour. I believe we are approaching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe it takes a whole lot of understanding, even as far as the world is concerned, that people realize, people know that something is taking place that things are changing very drastically, very rapidly in this world in which we live. This morning, as we got up out of our times of rest, if you turn on your TV and you listen to the news, it's about the same thing as it was yesterday, and about the same thing it was the day before yesterday and last week and weeks before. Nothing very well, nothing very good that has taken place. We understand that our nation is in a very, I believe, volatile position. I believe we are weakened in some areas. Our southern border is such a dreaded trouble and problem. You look around the world, you have Russia getting ready. Seems as though they're getting ready to invade the country of Ukraine. And at least they're poised to do that. And they've already annexed part of that independent nation to themselves. We have the problems in Iraq that have sprung up once again, and the airstrikes that we are conducting, and the people that are facing annihilation and genocide because of just ungodliness of people that are in rule. We have the war with Israel and the Gaza Strip. It continues on, and it seems as though there's no way of stopping. And so I believe we can understand just by watching TV, if we didn't know the Word of God, I believe we would understand that we're in trouble in this world. Our world has literally, seemingly, is almost coming apart because of these incidences and these things that are taking place. We ought not to be shocked as a believer. We ought not to be non-understanding, because the Scripture does tell us that there's going to be a time of wars, rumors of wars. There'll be a time when things are not going to remain as they are. And here we find in Matthew chapter 25, we find that the Lord gives His disciples an illustration. It's not really a parable, but it's an illustration of what it's going to be like when He comes. And He says that they all were slumbering and sleeping in verse number 4 or 5. And they have here given to us the five wise and the five foolish virgins that were awaiting the coming of the bridegroom. The problem is they were all asleep, really not looking for Him to come. But at midnight He came. And the Scripture says in verse 6, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Midnight is an interesting time in our 24-hour cycle upon the clock. It is a reference to, of course, a time of end of a day and the beginning of a day. When midnight strikes, you have ended one day and you begin a new day. When midnight is upon us, usually wherever we are, it's a time of darkness. And in the light of Scripture, many times midnight is used to depict wickedness and ungodliness. The hour, the darkness of midnight, the Scripture uses it in some instances as a dreaded time. In Exodus chapter number 11, and chapter 11 verse 4 and on through there, and also in Exodus chapter 12, we have the announcement and the carrying out of the judgment of the firstborn, and the Bible says it happened at midnight. And there in Egypt, the death angel came through and touched the firstborn of every person of Egypt, even down to their cattle, to their flocks, and the firstborn died. And so that was a terrible time and expression, and it happened at the midnight hour. In Judges chapter 16, we find that Samson took hold of the doors of the gates of the city and carried them through the city, showing the judgment of God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse number 20, you have two women that are standing before Solomon, and the one lady says, "At midnight, this lady took my child that's alive to replace her dead child." And so that was at the midnight hour. In Acts chapter 16, in verse number 25, Paul and Silas were in jail. And the Bible says they sang praises unto God at midnight. And they were honoring the Lord because they were facing a terrible time of judgment the next day. And of course, we know that the Lord delivered them at that midnight hour. In our text here, the Bible says the bridegroom comes at midnight. And that's not necessarily the tick of a clock, but it's, I believe, at a particular time when the world is in a terrible condition of darkness and blackness and judgment. And the judgment of God. I personally, and I may be wrong, and if I am, the Lord will certainly show me and correct. But I believe America has and is experiencing some of the judgment of God because of our continued turning away from the things of the Lord and not following the principles of God's Word. And we see it on every hand, troubles and discouragements. We all understand, we probably all have heard, that there is a doomsday clock. It was invented or started, and of course it's just an emblem. But back in 1947, shortly after World War II, they decided that they was going to put up a emblem that would show us how close that we come to the midnight hour of destruction. And since 1947, the scientists have moved the hands back and have moved it closer, and showing symbolically how close we are as far as their understanding, those that do not even know the Lord. They realize that we can come to a place of destruction by the actions and the deeds of our people. The farthest away from the midnight hour has been 17 minutes. That was back, I believe it was in somewhere in the 1960s, or 1950s rather. Then also, the closest that it has ever been has been 2 minutes till midnight, showing the closeness to destruction. And right now, the hands are set at 5 till midnight. So what time is it? It's almost midnight. Even the world recognizes that doomsday clock has nothing to do with spirituality, has nothing to do with biblical things, but it's the world's scientists, nuclear scientists, and people that understand and know what's going on in the world. They realize that little by little we approach that moment and that time that there is a destruction that can come upon this earth. Now, we know the Bible tells us that there is a time coming when the Lord is going to bring about judgment upon this world. And the distress is coming, and we see a part of that beginning even in the generation of today. So I want us to look at some scriptural things this morning that would show us how close we are to the midnight hour. Or it shows us that we are approaching that hour when the bridegroom shall come. Again, it's not the midnight as far as we look at the clock. We get the clock out at 11:59, and at 12 o'clock we're at midnight. We're not talking about that midnight. We're talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe there are some things maybe that are not normally given as parts of the things that we can look at to know that we are coming to the end of our age. We're coming to the end of what we know of as the church age, and I believe it's quickly approaching you and I. I believe one of the first things that we can look at is the prosperity that's around this world. Now, I know there are third world countries. I know there are very poor countries. But I also know that there are people and nations that are striving to prosper and will prosper at any cost. And I'm afraid America is one of those countries. That we will prosper. It doesn't matter who we touch. It doesn't matter who we harm. It doesn't matter who we deal with. We're going to have it our way. We're going to do it the way we want to do. And there's a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 12 that tells us there was a man that had this same idea in his life. He says, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll tear down what I've got because I'm going to have more. I'm working to get more." But then we find that there's a passage of Scripture that tells us that he realized that he had to answer the question of what about his soul. Now, he may build bigger and build better and build more. I mean, he may prosper, and our world may prosper. And you hear all the time about the stock markets, and people are involved in that, and well and good if that be the case. But we find that all of that, in the integral meaning and part of it, is that they're going to prosper and do more and get more. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, And I will bestow my fruits and my goods. The problem there is a personal problem. It's my barns, my food, my fruits, my goods, and I'm going to do what I want to with them. And so therefore, do not bother me. The Scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but where thieves break through and steal. But he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I'm glad, thank God, there's some treasures that we can lay up in heaven. There are some things that we can do that the Lord will bless us with, and we ought not to be so earthly minded that we do nothing for heavenly good, and we should lay up our treasures in heaven. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. We have seen some of the, since probably the 1950s, our country has seen some of the greatest prosperity that's ever been upon the face of this earth. But all of a sudden, we don't need God anymore. All of a sudden, it's settled, and we're living the way we live, and we do what we've always done. And literally, America this morning, for the most part, is a bankrupt nation. We barely can pay the debt and even the interest on the debt. We are a bankrupt people, and multitudes of people this morning that live in our country, they're living on borrowed money. They're living on borrowed credit cards and just so they can go ahead and keep their lifestyle and do what they've always done. But I'll tell you what, at the midnight hour one day, that's going to change and it's not going to matter that much. And so we find here ourselves in the reality that we are coming close to the midnight hour. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, there was a church listed there. And that church's name is Laodicea. And the Lord gave them some statements, and wasn't anything good said about that church. In the 17th verse of chapter 3, the Lord says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Now that's the attitude of many people today. I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. That's the way we look at ourselves. That's the way our country looks at ourselves. That's the way the world looks at themselves. But God says, oh, and by the way, that's the way some churches look at themselves. We don't need God. We don't need the Lord. We've got it made. We've got everything that we've got it all going. We've worked it out. The Lord was dealing with the church there in Revelation, and He says to them, thou knowest not. You say you're rich, you say you have goods, you say you have need of nothing, but thou knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You understand this morning, God looks at us, He sees differently than the way we see. We look on the outward appearance of mankind, but God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the soul. God looks upon the unseen of all of us. We look at each other. I see you this morning. You see me this morning. I see the colors that are around the building. We are dressed different ways and differently. And we drive our cars. We live in our homes. We have all the things that we have. But on the inside, God really sees what we look like. And it could be that God would say even to some of us, you're blind and naked and miserable. You have need. I believe our world this morning has a great need. And that need is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Brother Gallagher said this morning in Sunday school that what our country needs is someone to preach and to stand. We do not have really a national voice for righteousness. Now there's some religious fellows out there. There are some that have the ear of the people, and they may have multiple thousands of people coming to them, and they have power over certain segments, but we really do not have a voice this morning for righteousness across our country. And we need the preaching of the Word of God. We need the preaching of God's hand upon this nation, of how God blessed us and how God's used us. And the Bible says any nation that forgets God shall be cast or turned into hell. And that doesn't exclude America. America's been a great nation. America's been a nation blessed of the Lord. I read some that feel like that America sort of has taken the place of Israel in a replacement theology. I do not believe that. But we certainly have been blessed of the Lord. And we certainly have been honored of God. And you know why? Because we honored God. And we honored Him, but we have long forgot that. And we have now gone after the goods and the things of this world. And I'm afraid we're getting close to the midnight hour because of our prosperity. Not only that, but the permissiveness in our land. Anything can go. It doesn't matter what the Scripture says. It doesn't matter what God says. We are just a permissive society that every man does that which is right. Every person does that which is right in his own eyes. It is slogan sort of like this years ago, if it feels good, just do it. Well, the Scripture tells us there are restraints that we have to have. We see this permissiveness in the schoolhouse. We see it in the church house. We see it in our house. We see permissiveness. That just simply means we let things go on that ought not to be going on. We see it in the schoolhouse, our nation. Our nation's educational system is in disarray. And I believe it's been because that we have long time, generations ago, said we don't want God in our schoolhouse. Now, I know that's old-fashioned. I know that's been said 1,000 times. But you know what? Truth is always truth. Doesn't matter how many times it's said, it's still truth. And so we find that we have taken morality and we have ditched it. It doesn't matter. And we are permissive in every way. And therefore, when I was a boy driving to school, and there was guys that had pickup trucks, and they'd drive to school. You know what's hanging in the back window? A rifle. Nobody ever thought anything about that. Now, you do that today, you won't be driving anywhere. Well, things have changed. Yes, they have. We have removed morality. We have removed truth. We have removed that which is right and just let the process of time go on. And man has got what? Continually he has gotten worse and worse. And colder and colder and more indifferent. And now instead of driving to a truck with a rifle in the back window, now they take it in the schoolhouse to kill someone. And we see it all the time. And we wonder, what's wrong with our school system? I'll tell you what's wrong with our school system. We said we don't want God. And there comes a time when God says, if you don't want me, then you don't have to have me. You go your own way if you see if you can paddle the boat any better. See if you can do better than I've done. Just go ahead and have it your way. Now, the reason we have Grace Baptist School is that we try to teach morality. We try to teach truth. We try to teach right and wrong. Along with math and English and science and history. That ought to be taught a certain way. And so we have seen in our civilization, our culture, we have seen permissiveness take over, and now we have all kind of dreaded things in our school. We have all kind of problems in our school. We have had for years a teenage pregnancy. We've had for years just immorality in every way. I'd hate to walk down the halls of some of the school, probably right down the road from us. I'd hate to walk down the hall. One lady last year took her son, and they walked down the hall, and she said, I was embarrassed for this, just the words that I heard. God help America. These are children. These are folks that need to have training, and yet we've left that alone. We have no teaching of abstinence of anything. We see it in the church house. Permissiveness. We see it everywhere. We see it in our own homes. Sometimes we get shocked at what's going on, what we have digressed to, and sometimes it takes place. We're at the midnight hour. We're at close of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know His coming is going to be sudden, it's going to be swift, it's going to be quick, but I believe we're in that conditioning period that when we leave here, it won't make a whole lot of difference. The Bible says they'll believe a lie and they'll go on their merry way. So we have permissiveness. We have those things that just go on. Then, thirdly, and I don't have to spend any time here, we have corruption everywhere. Corruption. I have it written down here, corruption in politicians. But you know what? It's corruption everywhere. Everywhere. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving. And then, the Scripture says, and being deceived. We've seen it everywhere. We are dealing with things this morning that four or five presidents have dealt with, and it doesn't seem to get any better. From the time of George Bush, number one, until now, we've had a continual problem around the world, and we're seeing it this morning again, crop its head up, and we have people dying everywhere, terrorists. Wonder why? Well, our morals, our virtues are gone. And if it goes in our house, it goes away in our church house. If it goes away in our church house, it goes away in our schoolhouse. If it goes away in our schoolhouses and our places of education, then it goes away in elected places. Because they are the result. They are the product of losing all these things. And so therefore, they're just doing what's natural to them. And the Scripture says that they are natural brute beast. The book of Peter. And so there's corruption everywhere we look. I have read about corruption in countries all across this world. I read about the corruption. Brother Miss Bradley, they're on their way home tomorrow from the wedding there in Denver. And Miss Bradley was raised in the Philippines. And you hear continually how that there's corruption in the Philippines. And they're having trouble with their mission work there in the Philippines because the government has frozen all assets of everybody because of the corruption of their elected officials, how they're draining money out of banks of folks that they do not even know. That's corruption. How much corruption do we have in our country? When it leaves our home, it leaves our country. I heard this morning that only, I think it's, and I thought it's sort of a high number, that 60 or low number, 60% of Americans eat their meals alone. That means there's no family time. That means there's no children intermingling with their parents. That means mom eats, dad eats, child eats, and they just go their merry way. And they never set out as a family unit. When those things leave our family, they leave our churches, they leave our schools, they leave our world. We're at the midnight hour. Corruption. Fourthly, and I'm not going to get finished. Fourthly is complacency of parents. We're at the midnight hour. Little Johnny can do anything little Johnny wants to do, and it's okay. Little Sally can do what she wants to do, say what she wants to say, express herself any way she wants to, because that's good for her. They've read the psychology books until it's destroyed their thoughts of how to raise children. Oh, I know this is popular in a lot of places. But still, I'm trying to show us this morning how far we've gone around the clock, and we're at the midnight hour, and I believe before long, Jesus, the bridegroom, is going to come. And there's going to be foolish and there's going to be wise. We're living like the days of Lot and the day of Noah, as the Scripture says we are out there in Matthew chapter 24. Lot had his prosperity. Lot had his power. Lot had his prominence. But he didn't have any purity. He didn't have any righteousness. Only thing that we know about Lot from the Word of God, that he's even a saved man, that the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul. And that's the only thing he had righteous, was his soul. He sure didn't have the actions of it. And so, as a parent, he was complacent. No wonder his children mocked him. No wonder his children said, why are you telling us that God's going to destroy Sodom? Why are you telling us? They mocked their own father because he is preaching to them the judgment that the angels had said was going to happen upon Sodom. How many times we are mocked because we preach judgment. My friend, it's coming. It doesn't matter who believes it or doesn't believe it. It does not change the tick of the clock. It does not change the moments before midnight. And the last thing, I have some others, but this is probably enough. Probably already had too much. And it falls on my crowd. I believe we are approaching the midnight hour because of compromising preachers. They just don't want to say it. They don't have the name that they're the troubled preacher in the town. He's always causing trouble. They don't want to disrupt the machinery of their church that works with precision. Because if he preaches certain things, it will disrupt and then there will be problems. And then you have to handle it. And then you have to deal with it. Then you have to spend nights awake wondering what in the world is going on. It's a whole lot easier to go with the flow. It's a whole lot easier. Brother Greg, when you're in a boat, it's a whole lot easier to go downstream than it is upstream, isn't it? Have to use as much power to go down? Nope. You'd rather paddle upstream or down if you're paddling? Down. It's easy to go with the flow. I'll tell you what, the flow right now, we need some folks to stand and let the water ripple around us. You put something in a river and you make it stationary, you're going to see the ripples as the water goes around it. That's where we need to be as a child of God this morning. The world ought to ripple around us because we're standing true to what thus saith the Lord. Paul told Timothy, that young preacher, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Do all those things. He tells us that we must do that because there comes a time when teachers will heap to themselves teachers that having itching ears. That means they want to hear what they want to hear. That means that they're going to go find what will soothe their conscience. You'd be surprised how many times good people get in bad churches because they don't want their world changed by the Lord. Sometimes it's not easy to be a righteous Christian. Sometimes it's not easy to take a stand. And so they go to themselves and they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they turn away their ears from the truth. And then the Bible says, and shall be turned unto fables. When you turn away from truth, this book, and you might as well go read Mary Had a Little Lamb. When you turn away from the truth of God's Word, you might as well say, little Jack Horner over in the corner. Never did understand that one anyway. When you turn your way from this way, then just go read your Mother Goose book. Go read your Star Wars book. Go read your Anything you want to read. Because when we turn from truth, we're turned into fables. May God help us not to be a compromiser. Help us to stand because the hour is late. The hour is troubling. In our society, and I say this not unashamedly, I say this with truth, that we ought to go to church for the purpose of getting something in our hearts that will help us tomorrow. I don't believe we ought to go to church to have the entertainment world. Oh, you can go there. You can go to some churches and it's just like going to a dinner club. Some of them are called that. You can go find anything you want. But you know what's happening? You're heaping to yourself teachers having itching ears. Don't have anything to disturb you. Don't have any message that tears at your heart and tries to straighten your way out. I got something a while ago from my daughter. And I don't know enough about it really to talk about it. But it's a group that's considered a religious group. And they have, I think in the past, have won some Dove Awards. And one of the members of the band came out this week and said he couldn't imagine anybody. He said, really nobody believes in the inerrancy of the Scripture. Well, I got one that does. I believe it's inerrant. I believe the Word of God's true. Nobody in their right mind would believe that God would kill the whole world in a flood. May not be in a right mind, but it's God's mind. No one would... What's he doing singing gospel? That would be my question. And what would we be doing paying for the money? Paying the money for their goods and their articles. I don't even know the group, so it's probably one I wouldn't listen to anyway. But we're in a world of hurt. The clock, the dinner clock back there, has gone past. Moving out. Not much. Not too bad. But the spiritual clock of our world is approaching the midnight hour. And at midnight, there's a cry, come. The bridegroom cometh. You know what the cry is going to be for us? Read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Come up hither. And that's when midnight will strike. Let's stand together this morning.